Chapter 4. Friendly, and he had been tempted to show her brother a copy of some poems of his, some serious, and sad, some humorous, which had appeared in the poet's corner of a magazine from time to time. Owen showed them now to Cytherea, who instantly began to read them carefully, and to think them very beautiful. "Yes, Springrove's no fool," apostrophe said Owen sententiously. "No fool. I should think he isn't, indeed," apostrophe said Cytherea, looking up from the paper in quite an excitement. "To write such verses as these. Apostrophe, apostrophe, what logic are you chopping, Cytherea?" "Well, I don't mean on account of the verses, because I haven't read them, but for what he said when the fellows were talking about falling in love. Apostrophe, apostrophe, which you will tell me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he says, that your true lover breathlessly finds himself engaged to a sweetheart, like a man who has caught something in the dark. He doesn't know whether it is a bat or a bird, and takes it to the light when he is cool to learn what it is. He looks to see if she is the right age, but right age or wrong age, he must consider her a prize. Sometime later he ponders whether she is the right kind of prize for him. Right kind or wrong kind, he has called her his, and must abide by it. After a time he asks himself, has she the temper, hair, and eyes I meant to have, and was firmly resolved not to do without? He finds it is all wrong, and then comes the tussle apostrophe, do they marry and live happily? Apostrophe, apostrophe, who? Oh, the supposed pair. I think he said, well, I really forget what he said. Apostrophe, apostrophe, that is stupid of you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the young lady with dismay. Yes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, but he's a satirist, I don't think I care about him now. Apostrophe, apostrophe, there you are just wrong. He is not. He is, as I believe, an impulsive fellow who has been made to pay the penalty of his rashness in some love affair. Apostrophe, apostrophe, thus ended the dialogue of Thursday, but Cytherea read the verses again in private. On Friday her brother remarked that Springrove had informed him he was going to leave Mr. Gradfield's in a fortnight, to push his fortunes in London. An indescribable feeling of sadness shot through Cytherea's heart. Why should she be sad at such an announcement as that, she thought, concerning a man as he had never seen, when her spirits were elastic enough to rebound after hard blows from deep and real troubles, as if as he had scarcely known them. Though she could not answer this question, she knew one thing, she was saddened by Owen's news. 4. July the 21st, a very popular local excursion by steamboat to Lulstead Cove, was announced through the streets of Budmouth one Thursday morning by the weak-voiced town crier, to start at 6 o'clock the same day. The weather was lovely, and the opportunity being the first of the kind offered to them, Owen and Cytherea went with the rest. They had reached the cove, and had walked landward for nearly an hour over the hill which rose beside the strand, when Gray recollected that 2 or 3 miles, yet further inland from this spot was an interesting medieval ruin. He was already familiar with its characteristics through the medium of an archaeological work, and now finding himself so close to the reality, felt inclined to verify some theory he had formed respecting it. Concluding that there would be just sufficient time for him to go there and return before the boat had left the shore, he parted from Cytherea on the hill, struck downwards, and then up a heathery valley. She remained on the summit, where he had left her till the time of his expected return, scanning the details of the prospect around. Placidly spread out before her on the south, was the open channel, reflecting a blue intenser by many shades than that of the sky overhead, and dotted in the foreground by half a dozen small craft of contrasting rig, their sails graduating in hue from extreme whiteness to reddish brown, the varying actual colors varied again in a double degree by the rays of the declining sun. Presently the distant bell from the boat was heard, warning the passengers to embark. This was followed by a lively air from the harps and violins on board, their tones, as they arose, becoming intermingled with, though not marred by the brush of the waves, when their crests rolled over at the point where the check of the shallows was first felt, and then thinned away up the slope of pebbles and sand. She turned her face landward, and strained her eyes to discern, if possible, some sign of Owen's return. Nothing was visible save the strikingly brilliant, still landscape. The wide concave which lay at the back of the hill in this direction was blazing with the western light, adding an orange tint to the vivid purple of the heather, now at the very climax of bloom, and free from the slightest touch of the invidious brown that so soon creeps into its shades. The light so intensified the colors that they seemed to stand above the surface of the earth and float in mid-air like an exhalation of red. In the minor valleys, between the hillocks and ridges which diversified the contour of the basin, but did not disturb its general sweep, she marked breaks of tall, heavy-stemmed ferns, 5 or 6 feet high, in a brilliant light green dress, a broad riband of them with a path in their midst winding like a stream along the little ravine that reached to the foot of the hill and delivered up the path to its grassy area. Among the ferns grew holly bushes deeper in tint than any shadow about them, whilst the whole surface of the scene was dimpled with small conical pits, and here and there were round ponds, now dry, and half overgrown with rushes. The last bell of the steamer rang. Cytherea had forgotten herself, and what she was looking for. In a fever of distress lest Owen should be left behind, she gathered up in her hand the corners of her handkerchief, containing specimens of the shells, plants, and fossils which the locality produced, started off to the sands, and mingled with the knots of visitors there congregated from other interesting points around, from the inn, the cottages, and hired conveyances that had returned from short drives inland. They all went aboard by the primitive plan of a narrow plank on two wheels, the women being assisted by a rope. Cytherea lingered till the very last, reluctant to follow, and looking alternately at the boat and the valley behind. Her delay provoked a remark from Captain Jacobs, a thick-set man of hybrid stains, resulting from the mixed effects of fire and water, peculiar to sailors where engines are the propelling power. "Now then, Missy, if you please. I am sorry to tell ye our time's up. Who are you looking for, Miss?" "Apostrophe, my brother, he has walked a short distance inland. He must be here directly. Could you wait for him just a minute?" "Apostrophe, really, I am afraid not. M. Apostrophe, apostrophe." Cytherea looked at the stout, round-faced man, and at the vessel, with a light in her eyes so expressive of her own opinion being the same, on reflection, as his, and with such resignation too, that, from an instinctive feeling of pride at being able to prove himself more humane than he was thought to be, works of supererogation are the only sacrifices that entice in this way, and that at a very small cost, he delayed the boat till some among the passengers began to murmur. "There, never mind," apostrophe said Cytherea decisively. "Go on without me, I shall wait for him." "Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, 'tis a very awkward thing to leave you here all alone," apostrophe said the captain. "I certainly advise you not to wait." "Apostrophe, he's gone across to the railway station, for certain," apostrophe said another passenger. "No, here he is," apostrophe, apostrophe Cytherea said, regarding, as she spoke, the half-hidden figure of a man who was seen advancing at a headlong pace down the ravine which lay between the heath and the shore. "He can't get here in less than 5 minutes," apostrophe a passenger said. "People should know what they are about, and keep time." "Really, if, apostrophe, you see, sir," apostrophe said the captain, in an apologetic undertone, "since 'tis her brother, and she's all alone, 'tis only nater to wait a minute, now he's in sight. Suppose, now, you were a young woman, as might be, and had a brother, like this one, and you stood of an evening upon this here wild lonely shore, like her, why you'd want us to wait too, wouldn't you, sir?" "I think you would." apostrophe, the person so hastily approaching had been lost to view during this remark by reason of a hollow in the ground, and the projecting cliff immediately at hand covered the path in its rise. His footsteps were now heard striking sharply upon the flinty road at a distance of about 20 or 30 yards, but still behind the escarpment. To save time, Cytherea prepared to ascend the plank. "Let me give you my hand, miss," apostrophe said Captain Jacobs. "No, please don't touch me," apostrophe said she, ascending cautiously by sliding one foot forward 2 or 3 inches, bringing up the other behind it, and so on alternately, her lips compressed by concentration on the feet, her eyes glued to the plank, her hand to the rope, and her immediate thought to the fact of the distressing narrowness of her footing. Steps now shook the lower end of the board, and in an instant were up to her heels with a bound. "Oh, Owen, I am so glad you are come," apostrophe apostrophe she said without turning. Don't shake the plank or touch me, whatever you do. There, I am up. Where have you been so long?" apostrophe she continued, in a lower tone, turning round to him as she reached the top. Raising her eyes from her feet, which, standing on the firm deck, demanded her attention no longer, she acquired perceptions of the newcomer in the following order. Unknown trousers. Unknown waistcoat. Unknown face. The man was not her brother, but a total stranger. Off went the plank. The paddle started, stopped, backed, pattered in confusion, then revolved decisively, and the boat passed out into deep water. One or two persons had said, "How do you do, Mr. Springrove?" apostrophe apostrophe and looked at Cytherea, to see how she bore her disappointment. Her ears had but just caught the name of the head draftsman, when she saw him advancing directly to address her. "Miss Gray, I believe?" apostrophe apostrophe he said, lifting his hat. "Yes," apostrophe said Cytherea, coloring, and trying not to look guilty of a surreptitious knowledge of him. "I am Mr. Springrove. I passed Corvesgate Castle about an hour ago, and soon afterwards met your brother going that way. He had been deceived in the distance, and was about to turn without seeing the ruin, on account of a lameness that had come on in his leg or foot. I proposed that he should go on, since he had got so near, and afterwards, instead of walking back to the boat, get across to Anglebury Station a shorter walk for him, where he could catch the late train, and go directly home. I could let you know what he had done, and allay any uneasiness." Apostrophe apostrophe, "Is the lameness serious, do you know?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "Oh no, simply from overwalking himself. Still, it was just as well to ride home." Apostrophe apostrophe, relieved from her apprehensions on Owen's score, she was able slightly to examine the appearance of her informant Edward Springrove, who now removed his hat for a while to cool himself. He was rather above her brother's height. Although the upper part of his face and head was handsomely formed and bounded by lines of sufficiently masculine regularity, his brows were somewhat too softly arched and finely penciled for one of his sex, without prejudice, however, to the belief which the sum total of his features inspired that, though they did not prove, that the man who thought inside them would do much in the world, men who had done most of all had had no better ones. Across his forehead, otherwise perfectly smooth, ran one thin line, the healthy freshness of his remaining features expressing that it had come there prematurely. Though some years short of the age at which the clear spirit bids goodbye to the last infirmity of noble mind, and takes to house hunting and investments, he had reached the period in a young man's life when episodic periods, with a hopeful birth and a disappointing death, have begun to accumulate, and to bear a fruit of generalities, his glance sometimes seeming to state, "I have already thought out the issue of such conditions as these we are experiencing." Apostrophe apostrophe at other times he wore an abstracted look. "I seem to have lived through this moment before." Apostrophe apostrophe, he was carelessly dressed in dark gray, wearing a rolled up black kerchief as a neckcloth, the nut of which was disarranged, and stood obliquely, a deposit of white dust having lodged in the creases. I am sorry for your disappointment, apostrophe, he continued, glancing into her face. Their eyes having met, became, as it were, mutually locked together, and the single instant, only which good breeding allows as the length of such a look, became trebled. A clear penetrating ray of intelligence had shot from each into each, giving birth to one of those unaccountable sensations which carry home to the heart before the hand has been touched, or the merest compliment passed, by something stronger than mathematical proof, the conviction, a tie has begun to unite us. Apostrophe, apostrophe, both faces also unconsciously stated that their owners had been much in each other's thoughts of late. Owen had talked to the young architect of his sister as freely as to Cytherea of the young architect. A conversation began, which was nonetheless interesting to the parties engaged, because it consisted only of the most trivial and commonplace remarks. Then the band of harps and violins struck up a lively melody, and the deck was cleared for dancing, the sun dipping beneath the horizon during the proceeding, and the moon showing herself at their stern. The sea was so calm, that the soft hiss produced by the bursting of the innumerable bubbles of foam behind the paddles, could be distinctly heard. The passengers who did not dance, including Cytherea and Springrove, lapsed into silence, leaning against the paddle boxes, or standing aloof noticing the trembling of the deck to the steps of the dance, watching the waves from the paddles as they slid thinly and easily under each other's edges. Night had quite closed in by the time they reached Budmouth Harbor, sparkling with its white, red, and green lights in opposition to the shimmering path of the moon's reflection on the other side, which reached away to the horizon till the flecked ripples reduced themselves to sparkles as fine as gold dust. I will walk to the station and find out the exact time the train arrives, apostrophe said Springrove, rather eagerly, when they had landed. She thanked him much. Perhaps we might walk together, apostrophe he suggested hesitatingly. She looked as if she did not quite know, and he settled the question by showing the way. They found, on arriving there, that on the first day of that month the particular train selected for Gray's return had ceased to stop. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.